Good evening, Merry Christmas. I'm glad you're here. Before I start, I just want to say so much has gone into the preparation for tonight. And I'm not talking about God sending his son. That's a big part. But another part is the musicians and the readers. I just appreciate all of you. Some of you are out of your comfort zone for reading, and some of you, it's a beautiful thing to present your talents and your gifts to God, and I appreciate you doing that, each one of you. You know who you are. You know who you are. So let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Anything that is not of you fall to the ground as rubbish. I want the truth to come out of my lips so that people can hear the words, use them in their own lives to become closer to you and to your son, Jesus. And it's his name we pray tonight. Amen. So Merry Christmas. Congratulations. You made it through the month, almost. Hopefully the presents are wrapped, the plans are made, the food is bought. Now let the joy begin, right? You know that joy really is at the core of the Christmas story. Joy. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot. When the angel shows up to the shepherds in the field to announce the birth of Jesus, they famously declare this: "Do not be afraid." One of the funniest first sentences ever in a Bible verse. Do not be afraid. Apparently they had reason to be afraid. It must have been quite a sight, right? "I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is an emotion from the root of the word, from the root word happenstance. In other words, happiness is felt when our circumstances are good. For example, if you get that present you hope for tonight or tomorrow, you will be happy. But if you get a lump of coal in your stocking, you'll be sad, not happy. But joy is far greater than that. Joy is a gift given to us by God. It helps us to rise above our circumstances. And I bet a lot of you want that, right? To rise above your circumstances. So this is good news, and great joy is famously introduced to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. But there is another place joy shows up that isn't typically read during Christmas, but it really should be. Because it shows how our joy is made complete. To find this type of joy, you need to go to the book of 1 John. And there we learn two critically important things about God that ultimately makes our joy complete. Now here's the first verse of 1 John. "That which was from the beginning." So this book of 1 John starts by reminding us of the bigger picture of creation, right? Right off the bat. First sentence. John is saying, what I'm about to tell you is connected from the very beginning. He's reminding us here that God is God and we are not. God's the creator of the beginning. He's bigger than your biggest thought. In fact, to give you a glimpse of God's grandness, do you know how many Earths could fit in our sun? Well, I already gave you your trivia question for the night, but it's 1.3 million Earths could fit into the sun. That's huge, right? But do you know our Milky Way galaxy has roughly 300 billion suns and stars, and our sun is considered average size. And with the James Webb telescope, we have now found trillions of other galaxies. Here's a picture of that Milky Way galaxy. And Isaiah says that God measures the width of the universe with the palm of his hand. God is God. And we are not. Truly beyond comprehension. Maybe some of you in this room may be able to comprehend that. I cannot. I stand here before you not being able to comprehend that. And there is a beginning of the grandness of the universe. And who was there at the very beginning? Well, our God. He is the creator of the beginning. But when I think of perspective like that, it makes me feel like God is far too big and distant. Right? Out of my grasp. But let's continue. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Who do you think the word of life is? Who do you think the word of life is? Jesus. See, for those of you that haven't been here before, I've made this comment. It's really most of the time going to be Jesus when I say that. Okay? So that one really is. You should have known that right off the bat. I mean, there should have been more than one of you yell that out. So that you were right, whoever answered that. Correct. Good job. But you see, God could have stayed distant, right? He could have stayed distant. He could have stayed grand. He could have stayed majestic. He could have stayed beyond comprehension. There's actually a word for that. It's called deist, D-E-I-S-T. Our founding fathers, a lot of them were deists. God was up there, sovereign, mighty, like they compared to the king that they were under, right? That's the concept that God spun the world, set up the laws of physics, and left us to fend for ourselves. Many believe God did this and is uninvolved in this world. I can't live like that. But this verse pushes back on that concept. It says, the Word, Jesus, appeared. God revealed himself through Jesus, the Word of life. John is saying here that they were eyewitness to his grandness, right? They heard him. They saw him. They touched him. They were eyewitnesses to that. And they came to find out that God isn't distant. This is the first of the two things we learn about God in these verses. That God wants to be known. John was saying that God is very personal. That God is very present. They heard his teaching. They physically touched him. The God of the universe became vulnerable in a helpless baby. He became fully human to engage in this world with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel is such a powerful word. Because all other religions, God isn't with them. God is over them. Our God is with us. He wants to be known. That alone is big enough news to make that a Merry Christmas, right? But the next verse goes further. The life appeared. We have seen it. Oh, you want me to show it to you? Okay, well. The life appeared, we have seen it, and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Not only does God want us to know him because he appeared to us, but additionally, he wants us to know life. Isn't that beautiful? That's not for me. That just comes on automatically, so... So speaking of life, bios, we get the word biology. That's our physical life, okay? Psuche life, that's where we get the word psychology. That's the brain and the machinations of that. Tonight we're talking about the third type of life. But I do want to say those first two are very important to us and to God, of course, okay? We're not discounting the first two because you wouldn't be here and that would be very lonely for me. God wants us to thrive in every way. Physically, emotionally, and mentally, and we do too, right? But we are truly celebrating Christmas tonight because of the third kind of life, and it's called Zoe life, Z-O-E, eternal life. That verse we just read is actually talking about this type of life, and it's interesting in how it's worded. And read it aloud with me, would you? The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Isn't it interesting how it's worded? Eternal life did what? Appeared. Who's this talking about? Yeah, you already know what the answer is. Jesus. Yeah. I'm not giving you that freebie. You can't get off that easy. The eternal life he's talking about is Jesus. It's another part of the Bible. It says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the... Hey, there you go, life. You're in it now. The way, the truth, and the life. That's right. Very good. To know Jesus is to know eternal life. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus brought eternal life to earth. Another way to say it is that Jesus brought heaven to earth. We take this to mean that heaven starts the day you meet Jesus. That's why we are unashamed in our mission. We exist to know Jesus and to make him known, to know eternal life and to make it known here on earth. I want you to live. I want you to really live. God wants you to have life abundantly, physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually and also very importantly, eternally. There's just one problem with that. Us. We choose to run from God and try to do life our way. That's called sin. Sin basically means we have run in the other direction from God. We have rejected God. One way an ancient hymn puts it, we are prone to wander. Let me give you a list. It comes straight from Romans 21. These are examples of people who sin against God. Ready? Their lives are full of every kind of wickedness, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Oh, he doesn't stop there. They are backstabbers, haters of God, rude, proud, and boastful. And for anyone who feels that they're not on that list, it ends by saying, and they disobey their parents. So what did we just learn from that? I think it's obvious. The person you're sitting next to is so messed up. Look, yeah, no need to point. Look, we're all in need of God's forgiveness and God's grace. And that's what Christmas is all about. If our greatest need in life had been information, God would have sent us a teacher, an educator. If our greatest need in life had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Christmas is known for gifts because it started with the gift of Jesus. To open the gift of Jesus, who is eternal life, is to turn from our ways of sin to Him. That is literally what the word repent means. So if you get frightened by those people on the corner downtown Grand Rapids saying, repent, and you know, just realize that they're telling you to turn around and do whatever you're doing wrong, do it the right way. They don't have to shout at you. They probably tell you that, but that's my opinion. It means to turn in the other direction. It's to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to turn from following my ways to following your ways. And folks, this word is not just for those who are now considering crossing that line of faith. It is for everyone here within the sound of my voice. None of us lives a sinless life, no matter how long you've known Jesus. That's what I love about Christmas. It's a fresh start every year. For the first time, once again, it's a beautiful reminder that God wants to be known. And that God wants you to know eternal, real eternal life today by knowing and drawing closer to Jesus Christ. I want to add one more verse John put in there that actually talks about what makes our joy complete tonight. I want to add one more verse that will help you do that. Here we go. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy what? Complete. Did you catch that? Our joy is made complete when we have fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. That's why Christmas brings feelings of warmth. It's because you are in fellowship with God and fellowship with your neighbors. That shows God's heart that we never are alone, right? Mother Teresa said the greatest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody. That declares that our joy is not complete without you. And that's why we gather. That's why we get together as a body of Christ. You know why I think so many people say Christmas is their favorite day of the year? I think it's because deep down we know what I just said is true. When we know that we are connected with our grand creator, magnificent, sovereign God through our baby, through the person who came to us as a man, Jesus Christ, and when you are part of that connection, our joy is made complete. If even one of you isn't open to the love and connection with God, our joy is not made complete. That's why the first verse we read tonight was the birth of Jesus was good news of great joy for all people. You matter to God and you matter to us. This is what it means to be doing life together in a local church family. I know that many of you are family guests from out of town. I hope you are doing life with a group of Jesus followers. If you don't have a church family and you're from around here, I invite you to join us in this journey. You may say, I don't like organized religion. Well, you're going to love it here because we are not organized at all. Christmas is a reminder that you and I are not alone. Our great God has made Himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. As the worship team takes their place, I want to just revisit this beautiful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Michael and I have talked about this before. I've always considered it one of my favorite carols, but I think the reason is really this last verse that you haven't sung yet. In this song, God delivered a prophecy for Bethlehem 700 years before it would take place. But even then, he was working behind the scenes to maneuver the circumstances for his promise to be fulfilled. He does the same thing in each of us. Embrace his promise and his purpose for you today. I'm asking you to do that. Never think of yourself as too small or too insignificant to see God's mission fulfilled in you. You each have that within you. Don't sleep on the purpose and promise that God has given you. God never lies, and he never leaves a promise hanging. From the most unassuming place, the Savior of all mankind was born. I'm going to read you the words to the last verse, and it's important to me for you to hear this, because I think this is the culmination of the Christmas story. This is what it's all about. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angel, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us. Our Lord, Emmanuel. Each year for the past few years, we've done a word of the year that we grab onto, that we live our lives by. And my word this year is abide. I want to abide in Christ, and I want him to abide in me. It's a fancy word to say, I want him to be with me. I want to be in him, and I want him to be in me. Oh, come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. To ask God to abide with us is a prayer for him to stay present through life's challenges and darknesses. It signifies a deep desire for God's constant presence, for his comfort, for his guidance, for his focusing on living closely with Jesus. My question to you is, what can he do in you tonight and in the coming year to make you realize that and to have him abide in you and you in him? Amen? Amen. The descriptions of Jesus in the Bible, and the most telling one of this time of year, is he is the light of the world, a light that pierces the darkness. We live in a dark world, ladies and gentlemen, you know that. The only cure for darkness is light. We are to be light to the world because Jesus abides in us. So that's my prayer for you. I want you to enjoy your family, enjoy your time together, but also enjoy the certain responsibility that you've been given as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you too will spread your light to the rest of the world in how you live and how you act, how you talk, and how you interact with those that you don't, even if you don't agree with them. Go in peace. Thank you for being here with us this year. Be blessed. Merry Christmas to all. Amen. Amen. Amen.